Okay, we're going to call the Education Committee to order. The time is a little bit after 8 o'clock. Today's Friday, February 24th. And with us is Co-Chairman Thomas, Senator Stevens, myself, Senator Meyer. I'm expecting Senator French, and Senator Davis will not be with us today. So we do have a quorum to conduct business. Before we get started on today, which we're just taking up the one... Bless you. One item, Senate Bill 182. Is there anything to come before the committee before we get started? Okay, seeing none. So we will take up one Senate Bill 182, People Transportation. We heard this last on February 6th. We closed public testimony at that time. But there were a couple members, though, we did want to hear from before we completed our testimony, and I believe they are going to be online. And we wanted to hear from the Mat-Su School District in particular, because they're the ones that have kind of brought this issue to our attention, and we didn't hear from last time. We do have several other school districts, though, online, Anchorage, Kodiak, Kenai, Fairbanks. So if committee members have questions for them, we can certainly ask them as well. Okay. I would like to, if we can, work through this Senate Bill 182 and move it out of committee today onto finance, but we'll see where we get to today. So we have a new CS before us that why don't we go ahead and move that so we can work off of that. Senator Thomas, before we get started, welcome Senator French.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 182, version MAC/E.
Okay. Any object? I'll object for the purposes of discussion. And so we'll have Edra, if you would go through the changes for us. And put yourself on the record, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. For the record, my name is Edra Morledge, staff to Senator Meyer and co-aide of the Senate Education Committee. The new CS for SB 182 does several things to address the rising cost of pupil transportation. First, it recalibrates the existing pupil transportation or the per pupil amount that is given for pupil transportation programs to school districts. That's the current program that the department has. Would recalibrate those figures that are currently in statute. Second, it changes the current per pupil program to a reimbursable program, which would be based upon actual financial audits conducted annually and reported to the Department of Education. And third, it puts into place support and oversight by the department to control the costs of the pupil transportation programs within the school districts. The work draft that you have in front of you incorporates a couple of changes that we made to the original bill, and you should have a sheet that is titled Changes to CS for SB 182 Pupil Transportation. It looks like this. So I'll just walk you through the changes that we made in the four sections. Well, there's actually only changes in three sections. But for Section 1, in the original bill, we established the reimbursable program to begin in FY13. In the CS, we've changed that to begin in FY14 to allow for a second year to transition into this reimbursable program. So for the first 2 years, it would remain a per pupil program. In Section 2, we've added authority for the department to regulate the RFD program. And this is, if you look in the CS on page 2, lines 3 through 7, this section gives the department authority to adopt regulations to provide for the oversight and support to school districts to achieve a safe and cost-effective student transportation system. It's kind of broad authority for the to adopt those regulations, which is where our letter of intent comes in. Didn't want to put all of the specifics of how we intended those programs to work in statute, but rather pass along a letter of intent with the bill itself. So Section 3, there are no changes. We made no changes to that. And then Section 4 simply establishes those per pupil amounts for fiscal year 12 and fiscal year 13. And those are amounts based upon figures that districts reported as their actual projected costs for those years. Well, for the first year, and then the second year is increased based on a 3.2% CPI. So those are the changes to the bill. I can answer any questions.
Okay. Very good, Edward. Maybe just so I understand, too, the whole intent here is that over the next five-year period, and we specify this in the letter of intent, is to try to get all the school districts on the same schedule so that then DED could do an RFP and we could receive competitive bids for our pupil transportation statewide with the hopes of reducing costs, because obviously then you have a larger sample and you'll have more bids and hopefully have more competition.
Correct. That's the intent.
That's our long-term goal with this, yes. And then to get there, what we've done is for the next 2 years, continue with the current program of per pupil reimbursement, and then go to actual costs after that until we get
right.
to the five-year period.
Okay. Yes, based on the annual financial audits of each school district. But then in the RFP process that the department would oversee, they would allow for, there would be certain allowable things in the contracts, and then there would be certain things that if districts wanted to add to their contracts, then they would need to fund those another way. So we would reimburse the actual cost, but it would be based upon what the department is deemed necessary to provide their pupil transportation.
Okay, so in other words, we're asking DED to get more involved here, give out specific guidelines and directions as to what the state will pay for. If the school district wants anything other than that, that they pay for themselves.
Correct.
Okay. And then as far as the per pupil rates for the next 2 years, we had a survey done. Did maybe explain
yes.
that.
Okay. There was a survey conducted by the Alaska Association of School Business Officials. The first version of the bill was those figures were based upon a survey that was also conducted, and only 16 districts provided responses to that first survey, although it did represent, I think it was about 84% of pupil transportation costs statewide. However, the second survey, which are the figures that are included in the CF, those are based upon a more comprehensive survey that was conducted approximately 2 weeks ago.
Okay, and Edra, I haven't looked at the survey results, but did any school districts go down?
No.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me too much. Okay. So it's safe to say then the cost for pupil transportation has gone up in almost all the school districts.
Yes, and it's gone up significantly.
Okay. And the whole intent for the committee here is to try to get a handle on these costs and to control the costs. This is our best shot at it. So any questions? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate the work that you've done, and some of these issues are relatively complex and won't be solved even by the letter of intent, obviously, because there are some unique transportation methods and things that I'm sure some companies will say we're not even interested in bidding on that. So I think the language is still loose enough to allow those unique situations not to suffer at either the department's good intentions or the lack of the ability to get someone to actually a bigger company, which is kind of the intention, somebody that can cover a wider number of the schools, end up saying we're not interested in flying people from one village to another village, those types of things. So anyhow, but I think the language, the letter of intent language is good, or will suffice anyhow. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Thomas. And it looks like, if I'm reading number four correctly, we're primarily just doing the standards for the larger schools. Is that
correct? And then when it makes sense for
yeah.
for some of the smaller districts.
Because what is it, South Naknek, they actually do fly the students.
And I understand they skiff students in Pelican. So.
Yeah, so it might be hard to get anyone to bid on that. Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was looking at the same point, item four there. Those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 districts, areas, what does that represent? That must represent 90% of students being transported?
I believe it's between 85 and 90%, yes.
Yeah, and again, even with that, Senator Stevens, you know, we may not have that many more bidders interested, but certainly when Kenai does an RFP or Kodiak or even Anchorage, you know, the amount of kids for the cost, you just can't get anybody interested in bidding, and hence that's why it's we're hoping a larger sample will bring more interest. So. Mm-hmm. And I think the other hope here too is to have some standardization from school district to school district. So some school districts aren't having brand new buses, and other ones are having old tin cans or whatever.
Right.
That's the goal anyway. Basically, we're going back to the process we had in 2003. Correct.
Correct. Yes.
And that process was in place
since
for quite a while.
Territory.
Yeah. We went from a centralized process to decentralized 2003. Now we're coming back more to a centralized process. Questions, Senator French? Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Edred. Let's. I think we're going to do here now from Dr.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
At some point, I really want to hear from the department how they intend to deal with this RFP process, and I assume that will be later today.
Yep, we got them on the list here. I did want to catch Dr. Dina Parama. Parama?
Parama? Yes.
Okay. With the Mat-Su School District, we did not, and we're not able to hear from you when we did have public testimony, so we want to invite you to testify today and just let us know what you think of this solution and maybe give us an idea of what's going on in the Mat-Su Valley.
Okay, is the volume okay for my voice?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Dr. Dina Paramo, and I am the superintendent of the Mat-Su Borough School District. Thank you for considering this bill to provide additional reimbursement for home-to-school transportation and for giving me the opportunity to provide this brief testimony in support of Senate Bill 182, and then also to answer any questions you may have regarding our current home-to-school transportation contract and operations. Some quick facts about Mat-Su. We are located approximately 35 miles north of Anchorage, commonly known as the Valley. The district spans 25,000 square miles, which is an area larger than West Virginia. The Mat-Su Borough School District has 44 schools, ranging from a school of 20 students upwards to 1,300. With a district-wide enrollment of approximately 17,330 students, Mat-Su is the second largest school district in Alaska behind Anchorage. We support the retrospective expense reimbursement model proposed in the language of this Senate bill. The language recognizes that transportation operations are unique for all school districts and allows for the individualization required to address the vast differences that we see many times in student transportation in Alaska. These include but aren't limited to the extreme weather differences. For an example, some buses require to be housed indoors to ensure the warmth to carry students necessary by the state statute of 45 degrees. The number of buses and routes necessary to meet the needs of district students is different, as well as the size of districts and the unique difficulties of the road network. We believe that reimbursing audited home-to-school transportations only recognizes the need within Alaska to support a safe and reliable method of transportation to ensure that students attend our schools. It ensures that only allowable home-to-school transportation expenditures are being reimbursed. And then finally, it provides adequate visibility of home-to-school transportation expenditures for all districts claiming reimbursement. So it's very transparent. I want you to know that Matt Sue is a good steward of our taxpayer funds, as well as state funds. Our district issued an extremely detailed competitive bid to ensure that we were obtaining the best possible value in providing home-to-school transportation, yet we're still finding ourselves using operational monies to support student transportation. Please know that our bid was prepared in coordination with our attorney. It was over 70 pages that were very detailed. It tied any increases in charges to the Anchorage CPI, and then it has no fuel escalator, which we're really happy right now because we didn't want to have that risk. So our contract does not have a fuel escalator. And then finally, our district contracted with the lowest bidder, which actually saved us $11 million over 5 years. Matt Sue has experienced professionals who supervise our transportation operations. We have our transportation supervisor has over 19 years experience in K-12, and our business official has over 35 years of large fleet supervision experience, with 26 of those years being K-12. We're continually seeking ways to reduce our costs, and today we're running two routes less on a daily basis than last year while adding 291 more students who were eligible to transportation this school year, as we are a growing district. Our transportation professionals are currently engaged in a competitive route optimization study designed to decrease the number of buses and routes required to provide adequate home-to-school services next year. We're continuing negotiations with our contractor in an effort to reduce operating costs by evaluating the advantage of a possible second terminal and consolidation of routes and other operational efficiencies. We're investigating possible changes to school schedules as well and additional cost savings. You might ask, what drove up the cost in this new contract as we this school year was the first year of a five-year contract? Please know that Alaska Statute 23.10.065B states in the pertinent part that, quote, an employer shall pay to each person employed as a public school bus driver wages at a rate of not less than two times the minimum wage. When contracts are renewed, that statute goes into play. This was the single largest requirement increasing our costs in the new contract. Our contractor fleet is old. To eliminate service disruptions, our new contract requires that the average age of the fleet not exceed 10 years and that no bus should be older than 12 years. To ensure safety, we are now required two digital cameras on all buses, and as you know, this has significantly improved student behavior, making the bus environment much safer for both students and drivers. Please know that we support efforts to reduce home-to-school transportation costs by, number one, assisting districts in developing comprehensive bid documents, which is stated in the Senate bill, consolidating bids statewide, providing a review and assistance of district home-to-school procedures and operations, as well as holding all districts harmless and ensuring that both current fiscal year and future fiscal year allowable home-to-school expenditures are reimbursed. Thank you for your time today. I'm prepared to answer any questions in regard to Matt Sue that you may have. Thank you.
Well, great. Thank you for that testimony. I understand your expenses went up almost 27%.
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, that is pretty significant. And as we were told earlier, the expenses have gone up for all the school districts. So that's not unusual. Senator French, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Great testimony. Thank you so much. You did supply a PowerPoint that I was following along with, and in that PowerPoint backup, there were several slides of supporting information, and I have a question about one of them.
Sure.
The slide is number 16 on my pagination. It's about the types of routes that the buses take. One is regular education routes, the other is special ed routes, third is athletic field trips, and finally other field trips. Do you see the slide I'm talking about?
Yes, yes. The field trips is the large red.
Right. Explain that to me. Explain what those. I guess I don't understand what the numbers mean. That in the first bar chart, let's use 2006, 2007. I don't understand what 216 means for regular ed routes and 952 means for field trips.
Okay. The 216 is the number of trips. So that is the number of.
So it's
The number of routes, regular education routes, that would be the home-to-school reimbursement, as well as the special education routes. Please know that the green and the red are all the other bus trips that are actually paid for out of the operational funds that would not be reimbursable. But that just demonstrates how many buses we're using and getting on the roads. But only the blue and the yellow are reimbursable to the state through the people transportation.
And maybe you can just explain how field trips, you have four times as many field trips as regular ed routes. Maybe I'm not understanding what it means.
Regular ed routes, you'll have, say, seven buses per school, and they would, it's run on a route optimization, so you're picking kids up from neighborhoods. But a lot of times you'll have a field trip that different classrooms individually are purchasing buses for that would go to the PAC. So I might have, something at the state fair or something at the PAC or something where kids are going out and learning about salmon. Those buses are individually ordered per classroom.
But you're
many
not, you're
times not school-wide. So school-wide, we're going to put optimize that as many as number of students that can get on that bus and whatnot, but the buses that are ordered per classroom are different. They are, and also we run every day, which is not reimbursable. We run this through our career technical ed to make efficiencies in our teaching and our programs. We move kids in the middle of the day from all of our large comprehensive high schools to one site to gain the career tech, so it's the nursing program, a welding program, things like that. That red would include those kids because that is not pupil transportation home to school. That's what we do every day, and that saves us money and program costs as well as staffing.
Sure. It just makes it look like you're doing five times as many field trips as regular school trips. Is that the case?
You know what, every day we're moving buses from each one of our high schools. So we have five comprehensive high schools as well as about four alternative schools. So every day we're moving kids back and forth to get them to their classes in the middle of the day. But that's not home to school. And so we just want to be very transparent with how much busing we're using. But please know that the red and the bottom, really the red and other field trips, the athletic, are our program costs. Those are choices.
Okay, thank you.
it's complex. Okay, any other questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much for joining us. And if you could stay online in case we do have more questions, I'd appreciate that. Okay. I don't believe, actually, we had heard from the Fairbanks School District. So I see that Mr. Lewis is online. Mr. Lewis, did you have any comments at all about the bill, the committee substitute bill before?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Pete Lewis, Superintendent of Fairbanks North Star Borough School District, and I will be very brief this morning. I'm here to testify in support of the Sound Education Committee bill. We are currently using operating funds to support transportation, and next year we anticipate that we'll use over $2 million in operating funds, and this bill will help us to alleviate that shortfall. We appreciate the bill, the committee's support, and the effort to move this bill. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Lewis. All right, let's let's hear from the administration at this time, get their ideas and thoughts. I do see we also have a Luke Pulup with Kodiak, and we'll keep you, if you don't mind, staying online there in Kodiak to for questions as well. Welcome. Put yourself on the record for us, please.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Elizabeth Noodleman, Director of School Finance for the Department of Education and Early Development. Also here this morning is Deputy Commissioner Les Morris, who will have some comments after I'm done. My comments this morning from the department are as follows. The bill addresses the pupil transportation system at Alaska Statute 1409-010. The current system dates to 2003, when the then accountable system was replaced with an unaccountable system, and the per student funding mechanism was established to constrain costs. In 2003, the department testified that previous attempts to control costs by working with school districts to align contract bid periods and promote competition did not substantially lower costs. The per student cost constraint system replaced the department's statutory and regulatory authority for the program components, including contracts, number of routes, allowable expenditures, and other elements. The current law also deleted the statutory language specifically designating the pupil transportation program as to and from school transportation. The department's pupil transportation staff position and funding were eliminated from the department's authorized budget in 2004. For 8 years, with one increase in 2009, which included 2 years of a CPI increase, the current mechanism controlled costs for pupil transportation. The current expenditures reported by districts reflect newly signed 5-year contracts for 2012 through 2016 for Anchorage, Matsu, Fairbanks, Kodiak, and Ketchikan. These contracts may have varying levels of service from one district to the next because the contract elements and service levels are no longer constrained by regulation. The program constraint was moved from allowable costs to the per student funding mechanism. The bill also includes language that directs the department to adopt regulations to provide oversight and support for a safe and cost-effective student transportation system. The department envisions a framework that would include the addition of a staff position to work with districts on request for proposals and contracts and define and monitor allowable costs, including route criteria, administrative costs, equipment purchases, and other program elements. This is a valuable program to the state of Alaska. It brings the students to school in a safe and good manner. And so the department is working hard to protect this program.
For the record, Les Morris, Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Education. We understand the concern about cost containment, and we clearly understand the intent, and we appreciate actually being able to work with the center, the sponsor, and his staff to make sure that those pieces are included. At the last committee meeting, there was some on this bill, there was some discussion about making sure you heard from the department. So we had a lengthy conversation with the commissioner yesterday to make sure we were speaking words that he was very comfortable with when we came before you today. And he truly concerns the issue around cost containment and understands that's the goal. As Ms. Elizabeth Noodleman pointed out, there's been different models we've tried. So this will be stepping back into that model that puts us involved with the districts on that bidding. We understand it. We also want to walk into it without guaranteeing things because, as you can see, history shows us we can't guarantee those things. But we are going to work to make sure that we put forward our efforts as this bill lays things out. The last thing that I want to just mention is that as we have discussed this, I think that the administration will have some concerns around a supplemental for a formula program. I do think that we can work out those issues when this gets to Senate Finance and discuss that more and get some more clarity around that. But I thought it would be remiss if I did not bring that issue up around doing a supplemental for the current year on formula programs. I just want to put it on the table. That's a it's a concern that's going to have to be sorted out as this bill moves forward.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate those comments, I think. I think you're supporting this bill, but I'm not real sure. You know, in a lot of ways here, I feel like I feel like we're chasing our tail, because right now money is going out of the classroom from the BSA to help fund pupil transportation, and so then we get lobbied for more money for the BSA because there's not enough going into the classroom because it's going to pupil tran and higher fuel costs and et cetera, et cetera. So my whole intent, and I think the committee is to get a better handle on all the expenses that the school districts encounter, whether it be in the classroom, be on the pupil tran, or be the fuel costs, whatever the case may be. And it just seemed to me that this method gives you the tools that you need to kind of step back into this process, get a handle on all the expenses, and then we, as a executive branch and the legislature, can hopefully adequately fund education and meet their expenses and their needs. That's my whole goal here, and I think that's what you said you support and is your goal as well.
Chair Meyer, that's our goal. We just want to be clear that we understand the intent of the bill. We understand what we're striving for, but we don't want to fool ourselves in thinking there may be challenges along the way as we do that. But we want to make that part of the bill very effective as we move that forward. So in terms of cost containment, we think that's important to maintain the viability of this program.
Okay, very good. Now, did you guys give us an updated fiscal note? Because I think the last one I saw, we felt like, based on the survey that Amy did, and Amy's here as well if we have questions about that, there is going to be a little bump in costs, continuing with the per pupil process, and then it kind of levels out over the five-year period. But I'm not sure if things have changed any or not.
Chair Meyer, this is Elizabeth Noodleman. We have not prepared a fiscal note for you formally, just receiving the CS formally this morning. But the fiscal note would likely be for 2013 approximately $10 million less under the survey results that we now have. And then the consumer price index for the out years would be proportionately less. The bill does recalculate costs for the June 30th, 2013 financial statement audit. And so actual costs are unknown at this time.
Okay. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm more comfortable with the department being involved than not being involved. I mean, I know you can't make any promises, but it just seems without the department's involvement, we are, in effect, sort of abandoning some of the smaller districts. I understand that you're looking for an RFP for the nine, I think, largest communities, and I'd like to know more about that. But what about the smaller communities? How do you foresee the department's involvement in that process?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, right now, based on the information we have before us, the department would expect to have a position that would be able to outreach and support all districts, and that position would have specific knowledge on requests for proposals and contracts and be able to help any of the districts, and as you say, especially the small ones. We also would envision looking back to the requirements under that reimbursable program and making sure that all the districts were under the same set of circumstances for allowable routes, equipment purchases, administrative costs, and those types of things. So the state would really move together and cooperate in the pupil transportation program, and the department would be able to provide smaller districts with more specific help that they may need.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the auditing process now, is that through your department, or how would that audit work, or will you be, how will you be auditing the various successes and failures?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. What the audited financial statements provide for us is a record that assures the state that those were the revenues and the expenditures at this each district. It's not a program audit. It doesn't look to see each individual circumstance. To look at the overall results, the department could see the expenditures through the audits.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Senator Thomas.
Along the same lines, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You said in your testimony we went from an accountable to an unaccountable system, and that word bothers a lot of people when they think something's unaccountable. Are you saying we are now moving back into an accountable, a more accountable system anyhow? Is that the...
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, those terms to me simply meant that in calculating the funding, the department used a calculation, and the school districts were the stewards of the programs. And we have been very fortunate in this state to have some strong professionals in some of our districts in the pupil transportation industry. So this program would take us back from a per student calculation to our regulations that also set standards on route criteria, equipment purchases, and other elements. So it simply puts the department back in with the oversight.
So it is a more accountable system, you're saying, similar to what previously was held prior to the change in 03 or whatever year you indicated.
Through the chair, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for that question, Senator Thomas. And that's my intent too, is to go to a more accountable system. I guess it's a little disturbing to me because you're right. We've had some very good professionals running our people transportation. I know Steve Kalmus with Anchorage has been there forever. I understand he's retiring as well as the superintendent. So we're going to have some big voids to fill in Anchorage. But what I'd like to see, though, is consistency from school district to school district. In other words, one school district's kids shouldn't have brand new buses and get to go on field trips every day, and then another school district ride old tin cans and just, you know, only get picked up if they live a mile from the school, for example. So just, I guess, I'd like to see a little more consistency that no matter where you live, whether it be Juneau or Anchorage, Fairbanks, that basically you all have the same, the kids all have the same basic people transportation system. Senator French, question?
Just if we have a minute or two, just a couple questions. Maybe just a little historical context. First, what are we spending every year across the state to transport students? Do we know what the number is? I'm sure it's a big one.
Through the chair, Senator French, for 2012, the authorization is approximately $62 million.
And maybe just give us a little historical context. How were we doing? What was the change we made in 2003? I guess less about accountable or unaccountable. And where are we now? And so just give me a little historical context on how we built this transportation.
Through the chair, Senator French, prior to 2003, in the 5 years preceding that, the program had some growth. I don't have exact percentages for you, but we were seeing 10% growth. We were seeing 12% growth. We were just seeing some rapid growth And that was really the impetus to address the system in 2003.
And were we paying, and prior to 2003, were we paying for student transportation through the BSA or through some other method?
Through the chair, we were paying through a reimbursable grant through Pupil Transportation. So it was not the BSA. The department would approve routes, we would approve what could be purchased, and the school districts would submit a report and we would send them a check.
Okay. And was that the logs?
Through the chair. No, it was a separate Pupil Transportation program. The Pupil Transportation program historically has always been separate from any other education programs.
Okay. And so it was all sort of, it was a receipt reimbursement method till 2003.
Yes.
Then what happened?
In 2003, the law changed, and whatever districts were spending on pupil transportation, that was divided by the average daily membership for each district. If you were spending $800 per average daily membership, that became your rate. Each year, the department multiplied your rate by your average daily membership and sent you a check.
And that's persisted until today?
Correct.
Okay. And so we're going back to a system that's more like the receipt reimbursement method?
Through the chair, correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I can follow up on that. Sure. That's a very interesting question. Could you tell me, before 2003, after 2003, were districts forced to use funds from the foundation formula to cover transportation costs? I'm not sure if that what your receipt you were talking about. Well, the question is, have they had to dip into other funds to pay for transportation?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, prior to 2003, there was a 100% reimbursement, so districts would not have used other funds to pay for transportation. After 2003, for at least approximately 5 years, the per student allotment appears to have covered school districts for 100% reimbursement. For the last approximately 3 to 5 years, some districts have used other funds to cover deficits in pupil transportation.
Thank you.
Okay, good questions. So I guess my question would be, we don't have a fiscal note. Do you anticipate having to add staff now that, you know, we're asking you to get more involved both in coming up with the guidelines, directions, and the RFP process by, you know, in 2016?
Chair Meyer, yes, the department anticipates adding a position. School finance is a small section. That position was deleted along with its funding in the FY 2004 authorized budget with the description of the deletion was due to efficiencies of going from a reimbursable program to a grant program. And I think what we're looking for is some help for the districts from the department, and I believe that would require a position.
I think what we're looking for is Superman here to help us with our education funding and education needs. But okay, I think that, you know, again, if it's going to save money in the long run, which is our goal and our intent here, then adding another person, I frankly don't have a problem with it. This will go to finance next, and it is, as you said, $62 million. I think actually, in your budget, it was going to go up to $64 million this year, if I recall. But anyway, it's 60-some million dollars, so the Finance Committee will look at it very closely, I'm sure. And then if another person is justified, then it'll have to get out of the Finance Committee, Senator Thomas.
We'll rely on your expert explanation of the 62 to 64 million.
Okay. Okay, is there any other questions or comments from the committee? Like I said, we do have a couple other people online. If there are other questions, we have a couple other people here in the audience. Everybody comfortable with this? Okay. All right. Then Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we move committee substitute for Senate Bill 182, version backslash E, from committee with individual recommendations, forthcoming fiscal note, and letter of intent.
Okay. Any objections? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, then the Senate Bill 180, committee substitute for Senate Bill 182 will pass committee on to the Finance Committee. That is back to slash E, as you mentioned. Okay, so, yes, Senator Thomas.
You had somebody online, didn't you, from Kodiak?
I did, yes. You want to talk to me?
I just want to hear what he has to say.
Okay, let's see, is the gentleman from Kodiak still with, it looks like Luke Fulup? How do you say it? Oh, he left. You'll have to call him, Senator Stevens.
I think he'll call me. Yeah.
Well, the note I have here was he was supportive of the bill, so it should be a good okay. Phone conversation, unless you don't vote for this bill here. Okay, so the bill does pass out of committee. Next meeting is Monday, February 27th, same place. Actually, we're going to go a different direction now. We're going to go to the pre-K program. That's been a big issue. Had a lot of discussion on it. We had the was that the Governor's Council gave us a presentation on that, I believe, a while back. And certainly Senator French, Senator Davis have some bills, and we're going to be taking up. We're going to start with Senate Bill 6, which is Senator Davis and Senator French's bill. And then I think we would like to take up, Senator French, you have Senate Bill 120, Parents as Teachers. Take that up on Wednesday, and if time permits, then we'll take up Senate Bill 197, which is Excellence in Schools Grant Program by Senator Thomas. But for the most part, I think next week we'll be pretty much dealing with pre-K issues. So if there's nothing else coming before the committee, we're adjourned till Monday.